गोपी जन वाला भागे वाला गोपी जन वाला भागे वाला जशोर नंदना ब्रज जन रंजन जशोर नंदना ब्रज जन रंजन जमुन थीरा वन चारी Jamuna Tira Vanachari Jaya Rukmini Dwarkadish Rukmini Dwarkadish Rukmini Dwarkadish Rukmini Dwarkadish Jaya Jagannath, Jaya Jagannath, Jaya Baladeva, Jaya Subhadra, Jaya Goranitai, 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 Jaya Goranitai Jaya Jaya Prabhupada 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 Jaya Prabhupada Jaya Jaya Prabhupada 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 Srila Prabhupada Gaur Premanandi Hariyaribo Jaya Om Vishnupad Paramahansa Padavrajakacharya Sattva Sri Srimad ISKCON BBT Founder Acharya Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Maharaj Prabhupada Kija Nitya Lila Pravishta Om Vishnupada Divine Grace Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur Prabhupada Kija Ananta Koti Vaishnava Vrinda Kija Nama Acharya Srila Haridas Thakur Kija Prem Sakahosh Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Dittananda Shri Adaita Gadadhara Shri Vasudhi Gorbhakta Vrinda Kija Shri Shri Radha Krishna Gopa Gopana Shamakunda Radha Kunda Gira Govardhan Kija Shri Brajamumadamadam Kija Shri Namadit Mayapuradam Kija Shila Chal Jagannath Puridam Kijai Ganga Mayi Kijai Jamuna Mayi Kijai Bhakti Devi Kijai Shrimati Tulsi Maharani Kijai Their most beautiful lordship Shri Shri Rukmini Dwarkadish Kijai Shri Shri Rukmini Dwarkanath Kijai Shri Shri Jagannath Baladev Supadar Kijai Shri Shri Gornitai Kijai Samaveta Bhakti Vrinda Kijai Going back to home, back to Godhead Kijai ISKCON Los Angeles Yatra Kijai Brihad Madanga Transcendental Book Distribution Kijai International Food for Life Transcendental Prasadam Distribution Kijai. Shri Hari Nam Sankirtan Kijai. Nitai Gaur Premanandi Hari Hari Bo. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to Shri Shri Guru and Gauranga. Glory to Srila Prabhupada. Narayanam namaskritya Naram chaiva narottamam Devim sarasatim vyasam Tato jayam udhiryat Before reciting the Srimad Bhagavatam, which is our very means of conquest, let us offer respectful obeisances unto the personality of Godhead, Lord Narayan, unto Narayan Rishi, the supermost human being, unto Mother Saraswati, the goddess of learning, unto Srila Vyasadeva, the author, and unto Srila Prabhupada, the translator, commentator, and our spiritual master. Nashta prayeshu badreshu nityam bhagavata sevaya bhagavatyuttama shloke bhaktir bhavati naishtiki. By regularly attending the Srimad Bhagavatam class and by rendering service unto the pure devotee, all that is troublesome to the heart is almost completely destroyed, and loving devotional service unto the personality of Godhead, whose worship of transcendental songs becomes established as an irrevocable fact. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. So we're continuing our reading from the third canto of the Srimad Bhagavatam. This is chapter 12, creation of Kumaras and others, and text number 5. Tan babhashe sabhu putran prajaha srijata putrakaha tan naichan moksha dharmano vasudeva parayanaha. When that last vowel is long, it's not yanaha, it's yanaha. You have to pronounce that last long vowel. Okay? So it's parayanaha. If it was a short vowel, like a short A, then it would be parayanaha. But because it's a long vowel, it's parayanaha. Okay? Tan babashe sabuk putran prajak srijata putrakaha tan naichan moksha dharmano vasudeva parayanaha tan babashe sabuk putran prajak srijata putrakaha tan naichan moksha dharmano vasudeva parayanaha tan babashe sabuk putran prajak srijata putrakaha tan naichan moksha dharmano vasudeva parayanaha. Please chant. Tan babashe sabuk putran prajak srijata putrakaha tan naichan moksha dharmano vasudeva parayanaha. Tan babashe sabuk putran Prajasri Saputrakaha Tanai Shan Moksha Dharmano Vasudeva Parayanaha Vaishnavis Tan Babashe Sabuk Putran Prajak Srijata Putrakaha Tanai Shan Moksha Dharmano Vasudeva Parayanaha Bhakti Nani? Tan Baba She Sabuk Putran Prajak Srijata Putrakaha Tan Naishan Moksha Dharmano Vasudeva Parayanaha. So, synonyms? Tan unto the Kumaras as above mentioned. Babashe, addressed. Sabuhu, Brahma. Putran, unto the sons. Prajaha, generations. Srijata, to create. Putrakaha, O my sons. Tat, that. Na, not. Aichan, desired. Moksha Dharmanaha, pledged to the principles of liberation. Vasudeva, the personality of Godhead. Parayanaha, who are so devoted. Srila Prabhupada's translation for this verse. Brahma spoke to his sons after generating them. Quote, my dear sons, he said, now generate progeny, end of quote. But due to their being attached to Vasudeva, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, they aimed at liberation, and therefore they expressed their unwillingness. Srila Prabhupada's purport. The four sons of Brahma, the Kumaras, declined to become family men, even on the request of their great father, Brahma. Those who are serious about gaining release from material bondage should not be entangled in a false relationship of family bondage. People may ask how the Kumaras could refuse the orders of Brahma, who was their father and, above all, the creator of the universe. The reply is that one who is Vasudeva Parayana, or seriously engaged in the devotional service of the personality of Godhead Vasudeva, need not care for any other obligation. It is enjoined in the Bhagavatam, 11th Canto, Chapter 5, Text 41. Devarshi bhutap turninam prichinam na king karona yamrini charajan sarvatmana yaksharanam sharanyam gato mukundam parihritya kartam. Translation of that verse. Anyone who has completely given up all worldly relationships and has taken absolute shelter of the lotus feet of the Lord, who gives us salvation and who alone is fit to be taken shelter of, is no longer a debtor or servant of anyone, including the demigods, forefathers, sages, other living entities, relatives, and members of human society. End of that translation. Final thought from Prabhupada. Thus, there was nothing wrong in the acts of the Kumaras when they refused their great father's request that they become family men. Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prishtaya Bhutale Srimati Bhaktivedanta Swaminiti Namine. Namaste Saraswate Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Paschachadeshtarne. Om Agyana Timurandasya Agyananjana Shalakaya Chakshur Unmilitam Jaina Tasmai Shri Guruve Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manobishtang Shapitang Jaina Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamayam Dadati Swapadantikam Vandeyahang Shri Guru Shri Yutapadakamalam Shri Guru Unvaishyavangsham Shri Rupam Sagajatam Sahagana Raghunatan Bhutam Tang Sajivam Sadvaitam Sabadutam Parijana Saitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakhan Bhutangsha. Hey Krishna Karana Sindhu Dina Bando Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namosate Tapta Kanchana Gorangi Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Rishabhanu Sute Devi Pranamami Hari Priye Vancho Kopaturubhyasya Kripa Sandhuva Evacha Patitanang Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Shri Vasudeva Gaur Bhaktavrinda Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. So the very first point made in this purport and derived from the verse itself is that the four Kumaras refused Brahma's request because they were sold out to Vasudeva. Sold out, actually, should be Vasudeva. Vasudeva is the name of the Lord. Vasudeva. Vasudeva is the name of Krishna's father, and Vasudeva is Krishna's name because he's the son of Vasudeva. So, how is it that they're sold out to Vasudeva? Apparently, from this presentation, they've just appeared. They've just been created by Lord Brahma. They've just been manifest from Lord Brahma. And he gives them an instruction and they refuse. Because we've heard many times that the Kumaras were Brahmavadis. They were merged in monism. That's why they didn't want to participate in anything in this world. They were already beyond this world in terms of their understanding of existence. So how is that possible? Are they monists? If they're monists, how are they referred to here as sold out to Vasudeva? So later on in this canto, there's related the pastime of the appearance of the demons Hiranyakashipu and Hiranyaksha. The demigods go to Lord Brahma and they inquire why the universe has become dark, and then he tells them the story of how his four sons went to Vaikuntha and they were refused entrance. So there's a verse there I want to read because it kind of pertains to this discussion. This is the third canto, chapter 15, text number 43. Tasya ravinda nayanasya padara vinda kinjal kamisha tulasi makaranda vayuhu antargataksa vivarena chakaratesham sankshobam aksharajusham apichittatan vaho. Translation. When the breeze carrying the aroma of tulsi leaves from the toes of the lotus feet of the personality of God and enter the nostrils of those sages, they experience a change both in body and in mind, even though they were attached to the impersonal Brahman understanding. So this is where they get converted. So this must have happened before the order, because here in today's verse, they're getting the order to become family men, as Prabhupada says, but they're refusing because they're already sold out to Vasudeva. If they were monists, it would be a different story. They would maybe still would have refused because they didn't want to become entangled. But it specifically says here they refused because they were already attached to Vasudeva, Krishna. So this must have happened then. The order must have come after this visit to Vaikuntha. Another question then is, why would they have to aim for liberation if they're already able to go to Vaikuntha? You see, they already went to Vaikuntha and came back. So apparently they're already liberated. So why do they have to aim for liberation? But anyway, the main point was that this order of Brahma must have come after this incident where they went to Vaikuntha, they were refused entry in the last gate by Jai and Vijay, which was all an arrangement of the Lord. But at that point is when they become attracted to the Lord himself, not just the idea of going to the spiritual world. Another point from today's verse is this verse from the 11th canto, chapter 5, text 41, famous verse, Devarshi Bhutapta Nirnam Pritrinam. It specifically states here, Nakinkaro Nayan Rene Charajan. You're not a servant or a debtor. But if you go to the verse in the 11th canto, it doesn't mention servant. It only mentions debtor. So I just wanted to point that out. The word servant is in the verse. Prabhupada gives it in the translation here in this chapter, that one is neither a servant nor a debtor if you become sold out, Vasudeva Parayana. Now, we go on And Prabhupada ends the purport saying that there was nothing wrong in the acts of the Kumaras when they refused your great father's request that they become family men. So is that a Shastric statement or not a Shastric statement? Prabhupada gives evidence from his own life about not being entangled too much in family life. He told a story right here, actually, in 72, in a lecture, Bhagavatam lecture, right in this temple. Prabhupada told a story of how he got married, but he didn't really like his wife. He said she was a very faithful, wonderful person. Everybody liked her, but somehow or other he didn't like her. So he was making plans to get married again, because in those days, we're talking early 1900s, it was still permissible in India for a man to have more than one wife. So Prabhupada was making arrangements to get married again. His father called him and said, "My dear son, please don't do this." "Why?" He said, "It's a blessing that you don't like your wife. Then you won't be too entangled in family consciousness and you can get out." In other words, the time will come when you have to get out of family life. This is Vedic culture. When you become 50, you should get out. Take to the path of self-realization. So Prabhupada said, later on, I thank my father because I realized the truth of this statement. So the Kumaras are opting to not even get in. Some get in and then they get out. The Kumaras are saying, we're not getting in. So my point of asking, what is this a Shastric statement or not that Prabhupada is making? It's because yesterday one of my godbrothers contacted me, disturbed that one of our godbrothers in preaching is saying openly, I know that this person says that, and there are others who actually agree. They say that when Prabhupada speaks Shastra, that's absolute. But if he speaks something in some other subject, then you don't have to accept it as absolute. As a matter of fact, you should be selective in what you accept from Prabhupada. So, especially for the new devotees, you should really take this to heart and think about what I'm going to say. So is this factual or not? Should we think like that? Every morning we're chanting that we want to have our consciousness purified by the words emanating from the lotus mouth of our spiritual master. We're singing like that. So how do you reconcile those two? If you have to be selective in accepting what the spiritual master says, then how can you be praying to have this mentality of wanting to have your consciousness purified by the words emanating from the... It doesn't say only the Shastric words emanating. The words emanating from the lotus mouth of the spiritual master. So, yes, Prabhupada said that when one approaches the spiritual master, one should not have absurd inquiries or, you know, not want to have your doubts clarified. Yes, you should be in that mood of wanting your doubts clarified, but don't ask foolish questions. But yes, one should be not just blindly following. One should have cogent questions to clarify whatever doubts you may have. But once you get to the point of accepting the person as your spiritual master, then you have to accept what the spiritual master says. That is our culture. And that's why it's surprising that the Kumaras, Brahma is their father, he's the creator, he's obviously their guru, he's our guru, Brahma Manvasa Sampradaya. So one should not question at that point. Once you accept the guru, one should not question. And if doubt arises, then it has to be cleared up. Again, I've many times told the story, you've heard it many times, and Prabhupada uses it himself to illustrate that when he was in the courtyard of the Gaudiya Math, and Bhaktisiddhanta said from the veranda, "Kill him!" Prabhupada didn't know at that point, kill who? But it was this big cobra was approaching Prabhupada, and Bhaktisiddhanta told the brahmacharis, "Kill him!" And Prabhupada had some doubt that he's a saintly person. Why is he ordering this creature to be killed? And later on, when he saw that verse in the seventh canto, "Tam yasya manyam asuras chahatastvayadya modeta saru api vrishika sarpahatya," that the saintly persons are pleased when envious creatures like snakes and scorpions are killed. Why? Because they, without you bothering them, they'll bite you just by going close to them. And I've had many experiences right here in the Santa Monica Mountains. I used to hike a lot. And almost every hike, I would run into some rattlesnake. Literally, almost every time hiking. Because they're very prevalent, and there are a lot of them there. And in Mayapur, there are lots of cobras. I told that story also in 76, first time I went. That's when I got my second initiation of Prabhupada at the Mayapur Festival. But when we first landed, that long building, it was just a foundation. And that's where all the visiting brahmacharis had to sleep. They put up some tents and whatnot. So we got there a little late. It was about 6:30, 7:00. And there was a big commotion. And we were asking, what's going on? And the local brahmachari said, well, we had to kill one cobra. It was lying where you're supposed to be sleeping. And then later on, you know, I got a little friendly with some of the local brahmacharis there. And they said, yeah, Prabhu, if you knew how many snakes were here in Mayapur, you wouldn't come. But the cobras have the ability, they can live amongst human beings and generally not cause too much trouble. Generally, they can live under your house and they won't bother you if you don't bother them. So anyway, Prabhupada tells that story. So now getting back to this point about how should we accept the words of the spiritual master? Should we be selective? It doesn't seem to hold up with Shastra, because the Shastra tells us that we have to accept the order of the spiritual masters, our life and soul. Now that order may be something directly from the Shastra, go out and preach Krishna consciousness, or it may be something else. The Prabhupada may tell you something that may not seem to be directly Shastri. Go and pick me a flower. Is that Shastri? But if Prabhupada says do it, you do it. If the spiritual master says do it, you do it. Actually, the example given is that one should be so sold out to the word of the spiritual master that if the spiritual master points to a snake and said, bring me that rope, you see, your mind is telling you, that's a snake. It's not just a snake, it's a venomous snake. My guru is telling me, bring me a rope. You don't think, no, is my spiritual master crazy? No, you go and get it, and you bring it to him. See? You go and get it, you bring it to him. If we start being selective about accepting the words of the spiritual master, that means we don't understand what is a pure devotee. If you accept that your spiritual master is a pure devotee, which we all do for Srila Prabhupada, you may have doubts about somebody else, but there's no doubt about Prabhupada's position as a pure devotee of Krishna. So a pure devotee of Krishna is one who at every moment is doing exactly what Krishna wants him to do, saying exactly what Krishna wants him to say. Just like Prabhupada said, I didn't write these books. Krishna personally dictated them to me. So do we think that Krishna only talks to Prabhupada when he's writing books, but not when he's having a conversation about something else? Do we actually think like that? That Krishna only speaks to him when he's writing his purports, but otherwise he's on his own, he does whatever he wants? We don't understand then what it means to be a pure devotee. The pure devotee at every moment is doing exactly what Krishna wants to do. Even if it seems to you like it's a mistake. Again, the famous example of the Pandavas. Krishna told Arjuna to kill Karna when he was off the chariot. That's against the rules of Kshatriya Dharma. But Arjuna did it. He hesitated, but he did it. So, Krishna, whatever he tells any one of us, whether it's the Pandavas or anybody, to do, you have to do it. Even if it doesn't make sense with your psychophysical nature, your understanding of the world, that doesn't matter. It's the same thing with the spiritual master. The spiritual master is a pure representative of Krishna. Whatever he tells you, you should do. Don't be selective once you've accepted that person as your spiritual master. That's the point I'm trying to make. Then the whole spiritual culture goes out the window. Then everybody becomes their own guru, which is exactly the way Maya wants us to think. You don't need a guru, somebody to tell you what to do, when to get up, how to dress, what to eat, where to go. You're a grown-up person. You have so much experience in life. Just follow your own instincts. Follow your own intuition. That's what Maya wants us to think. And if we think like that, guaranteed we're going to come back to this material world. Guaranteed. As we heard this morning, Subhas was reading, that the foolish persons, they remain attached to the body. Foolish persons. They do everything for the body. They're attached to the body. But it's not just the gross body. Actually, we are more attached to our subtle bodies. Quite often, we become neglectful of this gross body. We don't eat properly. We don't sleep properly. Whatever. But the subtle body, we're very much attached to. My ideas, my thoughts, my suggestions, my subtle body. And that's what brings us back to this material world. Because at the end of life, when you're attached to your way of thinking, which doesn't necessarily include Krishna's demands to surrender to him, then you have to come back. If you're thinking at the end of life that, no, I'm a great person, I have so many plans that I didn't fulfill, okay, come back and try again to fulfill those plans. Again, defeated. Parabhavastavada Bodhajata. Yava Nikyasada Atmatattvam. This is Rishabhdev telling his sons. That is the feat. Everything here in this material world is already defeated in advance. In advance. So don't stick to the material. Look towards the spiritual. Then you have a chance for success. So again, getting back to this topic, which is very important. Young devotees, they may not know so much what Prabhupada said about different subjects. So one devotee you compile, you see there's a section of the Veda base which everybody should have or should have access to. It says compilations from Srila Prabhupada's words. And then the last one entry under that section is Shikshamrita. Shiksha means instruction, amrit means nectar. So it's a nectar of the instructions given by Prabhupada on different subjects. And it starts out with art, and it goes all the way down to the last one, is women in Krishna consciousness. So if you want to know anything on any of these subjects, read Prabhupada's words first before you start. They added some since then. Anyway, Varnashram is the last one on this one. And some versions of the Veda base, the last one was women in Krishna consciousness. Read what Prabhupada said on anything. Art, drama, business. Read what Prabhupada said first before you take anybody else's instructions. I don't know about you, but if there's a difference in instruction on anything, any subject, between what Srila Prabhupada said and what a disciple of Srila Prabhupada or a follower of Srila Prabhupada said, I'm going to Prabhupada. You have a right to do whatever you want. But if there's any subject that's under discussion, whether it's World War II or the history of the world or cooking or anything, if Prabhupada's statement differs from what somebody else says, I'm going with Prabhupada. You make up your own mind. So my experience with this particular person that was being discussed, that my godbrother contacted me about, is that person, yes, encourages people to question Prabhupada, but if you question him, he'll freak out. If you question him on any subject, he'll freak out. He'll get hot under the collar. It's all right to question Prabhupada, but don't question me. See? So you have to make up your mind. Who do you want instructions from on any subject? Just like when Prabhupada was in London, he spoke with the Beatles. So he had a discussion with John Lennon and Yoko. And at the end, Yoko said, but there are so many spiritual masters, so many gurus. How do we know who's saying? So Prabhupada's answer was very instructive. He said, it's just like when you get sick. If you get sick and you go to the druggist, we would say pharmacist, but Prabhupada said the druggist. And I'm sure that resonated with them because they were all on drugs. So Prabhupada said, if you're sick and you go to the druggist, you can't just say, I'm sick, give me any medicine from the shop. The reply will be, I'm sorry. You have to have a prescription from your doctor. No, 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 I'm sick. You have so many medicines. Just give me one. No, you have to have a prescription. So he said, the guru is like the doctor who gives you the prescription to find the right medicine to cure the disease that you have. See? That's the guru. Anybody who tells you, yeah, you can do anyway, chant anything, go anywhere, do anything, that's a nonsense person. So in our line, the prescription is already given. Harirnama, Harirnama, Harirnama Vakevalam, Kalona Sevina Sevina Sevina, Gacharanyata. In this age of Kali, which is so degraded, already only 5,000 years gone out of 432,000 years. You can just imagine. You know, we're writing 2023, and those of us who were born in 1952 were thinking, oh, 2023 already? There's going to be a time when it's 2223. Oh, oh. You know, 432,000 years. In this age of Kali. And it's already so degraded. Right? But the prescription is there. Chant Hare Krishna. Follow these principles. Associate with devotees. Take only Krishna prasadam. The prescription is already given. All we have to do is follow. And if there's any particular subject that you want to discuss internally or externally, first of all, find out what Prabhupada said. You want to know what Prabhupada thought about astrology? Read that. Now, somebody may come up with some other approach, some other idea. They have a right to do that, but I feel safe repeating whatever Prabhupada said about astrology. And what did Prabhupada say about astrology? He said, he gave the example of one mudha. He said, this mudha was sitting, you've heard it, he was sitting on a tree, he's sitting on the branch of the tree, here's the trunk of the tree, he's sitting on the branch, and he's sawing between himself and the trunk. So a person goes by and says, hey, stop that, you're going to fall. Leave me alone, and mind your own business. So he keeps sewing, and then he falls. So then he thinks, this guy must be an astrologer. He could see the future. So he ran after him. Go, Gurudev, please tell me more. Like that. He said, such foolish persons go to astrologers. It's not required. Whatever's going to happen in this life is already set by your karma. Now what you can change is your next destination. Change your subtle body, in other words. Learn how to think properly. If you learn how to think properly, then you learn how to feel properly, and you will will yourself to act properly. That's what the guru does. The guru teaches you how to think, and therefore you will develop proper desires, and you will yourself to act properly. So, any subject matter, I'm especially speaking to the young devotees here. The older devotees, either they know this already, or they're fixed in some other understanding, but the young devotees, while you're still young enough to understand what I'm saying, take Prabhupada's opinion on anything above anybody else's. That's the bottom line. Not that we just think that Prabhupada is empowered to speak on Bhagavatam and Bhagavad Gita, but when it comes to any other subject matter, you may not be right. Well, how do I know that you're right? Just like Prabhupada stated emphatically that the Pandavas, Yudhishthira in particular, was the emperor of the entire planet. And some people say, nah, there was never any king in India who was the ruler of the entire planet Earth. That's just some wishful thinking or something like that. But Prabhupada said, over and over again, he said, the king in Hastinapur was the emperor of the entire planet, the entire world. So, somebody may ask, well, in those days they were having horse and chariot, so how could he travel to other parts of the planet? They could do it. They were not ordinary horses and not ordinary chariots. We've seen so often. Just like their bows and arrows were not ordinary. They could shoot one arrow and it would divide itself into thousands of arrows that could kill thousands of people simultaneously. Can you do that with your bow and arrow nowadays? You take one arrow and you're lucky if you can hit any part of the bullseye. And you feel, whoa, I'm such a good marksman. But that they were not ordinary archers. They were not using ordinary weapons. So where is there any question? And it's not only when Krishna was present on the chariot, just like Krishna took Arjuna to see Mahavishnu and came back and everybody was still alive, which is remarkable considering the distance covered. So we should take the words of Srila Prabhupada on any subject. This is my understanding and my presentation to you. Again, you come to whatever conclusion you want, but whatever Prabhupada says on any subject, I'm going with that. And if somebody, disciple of Prabhupada or follower of Prabhupada or somebody, non-devotee, says something different, I don't care. I'm taking Prabhupada's. Jai, thank you very much for your kind attention. I would like to end the class, but so many hands are going up, I'll probably get... The reason why I usually leave on time is because I have to take breakfast and open up the BBT by 9 o'clock. Anyway, we'll take a few questions because this could go on forever. Okay, Brigapati had his hand up even during the class, so he has something really...
Opinion on anything, I agree. And Prabhupada's opinion here is there's nothing wrong in the acts of the Kumaras when they refuse their great father's request that they become family men. So what if your spiritual master tells you to get married? Can you refuse?
That's a good question. You can, but you have to be on a certain level where you actually have that adhikar, where you actually have that, just like Parashuram ordered Bhishma Dev to marry when Ambika objected that he has abducted me and he won't marry me. I forget the name. There was Amba, Ambika, and Ambalika. One of them. Maybe it was Amba who objected. Anyway, one of the three girls, sisters, objected that he has abducted me and he refuses to marry me. So Parshav said, no, you should marry her. And they fought. And he satisfied his guru by fighting. And then the guru said, okay, you can stay brahmachari. So I don't suggest that all our brahmacharis here do that. That if your spiritual master says you should marry, you want to fight him. I don't. And if you're going to fight him, you better be on the level of Bhishma Dev where you know you're going to win. So that's the answer. Yes, generally speaking, no, you don't refuse. But if in some particular instance, like in this instance, the Kumaras refused because they were Vasudeva Parayana. Are you Vasudeva Parayana? If you're not, then maybe you should do what your spiritual master tells you to do. Rujadev Prabhu, you had your hand up?
Yeah, in the example of the spiritual master telling the disciple to bring him the rope, bring me that rope, and he's pointing to the snake. So if the disciple is thinking, no, I'm not going to do that because I know better, then that would be offensive. But suppose the spiritual master is, you know, we could say has bad eyesight or something, and he actually needed a rope for something, and he wanted, so he said, bring me that rope and give it to me. So then, you know, would it be wrong for the disciple to say, no, my Gurudev, that's not a rope, it's a snake?
No, it's not wrong. Yeah. Discussion. Prabhupada encouraged discussion. He would ask his disciples, what do you think of this? What do you think of that? So discussion is not forbidden. But if at the end of the discussion, the spiritual master says, do it anyway, then you do it. That's our understanding. You can discuss with your Guru Maharaj. Oh, Guru Maharaj, maybe you're mistaken. I see a cobra. You think you see a rope, but I see a cobra. And if the spiritual master says, it's a rope, bring it, then you go get it. You see? Prabhupada understood that very well. There was one instance while he was traveling where he came across a devotee who was a temple president in one place. And Prabhupada wanted him to go and be president somewhere else. So they discussed, and at the end, Prabhupada, you know, made it clear that that's what he wanted. But the person was adamant. So after Prabhupada left with his entourage, the other devotees asked Prabhupada, why didn't you order him? Order him to do it. Prabhupada said, because if I order him and he does it, it will be a big offense. So Prabhupada understood that. If the spiritual master gives you an order and you don't do it, it's a great offense. But if he leaves it open and leaves you the option to do what you want, then okay. So there's this distinction between an order of the spiritual master and something that he would like you to do, but he hasn't ordered you to do. All right, one more.
Okay, so if you want to take this, touch this snake and give to your guru, and you know somehow you will die, and you have to die, and you die, then you will die, you will still do it? Because
the point is, you're going to die anyway. It's not that if you don't die from snake bites, you're going to live forever. Even the foolish scientists who for decades have been giving people the false idea that through modern science you can live practically forever. Now, they just came out with an article I read a couple of weeks ago. They're saying, in our estimation, the maximum lifespan for a human being is about 150 years. We don't think we can put it any further than that. So, you're not going to live forever anyway. So to die in battle under Krishna's orders, like the Pandavas put themselves in that position, or to die being bitten by a snake that the spiritual master told you was a rope, it's glorious. What a way to go. Guru Maharaj, I tried to get you this rope, but it was a snake, and he bit me. Please bless me. My son, you're blessed. You're going back to Godhead. Going back to home, back to Godhead, Ki Jai. Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. Or Bhaktivedanta Ki Jai.